Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Really matter who calls the plays.
What?
Edition. Let's talk about first round picks, baby. Let's talk about Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness and Eric Stokes and everybody. Let's talk about first round picks on D. Edition. And I may have overstepped my bounds with a question yesterday. To Matt LaFleur. Edition. But he handled it. He didn't react. He just answered. We'll let you be the judge. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. 100.5 ESPN Madison. 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com. The ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com or the Wisconsin On Demand app, which allows you to get this here podcast wherever you get the rest of your podcasts. Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, but no longer Stitcher, RIP. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and really excited because his camera's back and now we can all see how skinny and handsome he is.
You miss me?
Good looking
no.
guy.
Didn't.
Good looking guy.
Can't say we did. Didn't miss you on Friday for six of the last seven Fridays either. And from his undisclosed location. What are you doing?
Selfie!
A little selfie.
He is the Packers Hall of Famer, taking a picture of himself with a muffin or something. He is.
Why
Mark
would
Tauscher.
You think that I'm taking a picture of a muffin?
Because it's bakery week at Quick Trip.
No, although it always is. You get that Quickery bread.
Potatoes for sale.
Cents.
Was that a potato?
No, there are potatoes for sale. Why would I bring this down
here? Is
that
a ginger snap
cookie?
Yeah,
what is that?
Do you guys not pay attention to the show? I haven't brought it up in a while.
Oh, the protein muffins!
Thank you!
Oh, my
God!
And you're eating them all because you're a good dad.
Nah, I'm not going to eat all of them, but I just, you know, got done. I had a big pickleball win this morning. By the way, happy birthday to my mom. It's my mom's birthday. She is an A1 from day one. I don't think she's going to make the Hall of Fame. Because she never wants to contribute. She's not going to make the Hall of Fame, right? Like, can we agree on that?
We could put her in a special category.
Yeah, she could be like a legacy. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to. Well, who cares about legacy? Didn't you hear that Mike Tyson thing? That was great.
Who cares about play callers? Sorry.
She could be in a special contributor because I would bet from an hours watched and or listen to, don't think anyone's beating her. She
New
is
league
obviously
record.
A great mom, and she's been a great WTL forever. Like, forever. So, happy birthday, Mom.
Wilde Tausch,
I don't know how old she is. Like, if you're going to ask, I don't know. I don't even know how old she is.
What is your deal? She's your mom.
I know.
I don't know how old she is.
Because it doesn't matter.
What year was she born?
What does it matter how old she is?
It does matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Why would it matter?
But it does.
Why?
Because.
Obviously, if she's 80, she's not 80. I know that.
Good.
If it was a big monumental, like 70, 80, then obviously we'd celebrate something big. But if she's 76 or 77, does it matter?
You got to know what number of candles to put on the cake.
I'm so disappointed in you right now. Do your brothers know?
What are you disappointed me about?
Do your brothers
Pat
know?
Pat definitely does. Patrick definitely does. Okay. Craig, doubtful.
I just feel like... While I will allow that whether she's 76 or 77 in the grand scheme is not a significant difference, just I feel like when you love someone, you should know how old they are. I think that's a reasonable position to hold.
I don't think you need to know exactly. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I know the ballpark of where she is, how old she is. But I don't know exact. If I was a betting man, but I'm not going to put her age out on the street anyways.
It's not about.
Let's see. I was right. I was right.
76 or 77?
No, I said 78. That's what she is.
Well, happy birthday.
I was right. So I do know.
Yeah, and I know that you're 47, and I know that Jesse's 33. And
I don't need you to know that.
But you should know.
If I'm turning 50. If I'm turning 50, yes.
But how the hell do I know you're turning 50 unless I know now you're 47?
It's a fair question. I don't know. I can't give you that answer.
Who are the great number 78s of all time?
Ross Verba.
Verba. Ross Verba. There you go. Barber. Alan Barber.
Alan Barber is one of the greats because he became a solid offensive lineman in the NFL
player.
With the Eagles. But the fact that he wasn't good enough initially...
A big noodler.
Brought
you
back.
He got into noodling. I actually thought about going down... That's the one fun... Really, there are a lot of fun things. But he's a noodler. So he'd be one of those guys... I showed you that picture of that catfish we caught at the undisclosed location.
Yeah.
He does that with his arm.
Wait a minute. Noodling is where you stick your arm into the fish.
You stick your arm in like a little cave.
Kind of like that you are, fish, except a lot farther.
No, but you stick it in there, and then that fish, now it's obviously not going to drag me around, but if Max was noodling, that fish can drag you, and there people die noodling. Noodling's not for the faint of heart.
I'm not interested.
Barber is a big noodler. Big noodler. Anyways, I get done, and I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of hungry this morning before, and I'm thinking to myself, how can I honor my mom turning 78? She thought in the same boat as you, don't force Eleanor to eat these protein muffins. So they've been sitting in our freezer, I'd say 3 years, I think is when I probably brought that up. Oh. I'm going to have me a protein muffin this morning. That's what I'm going to do.
How many are left?
There's a bunch. There's a bunch. And they're all, you know how you get like that freezer dry and all the ice? That's where we're at with
freezer
this.
Burned. Yeah, good. Enjoy that. Choke it down. You only got 24 more to go after you tried to make poor Eleanor eat them. For the record, there is no 78 currently on the Green Bay Packers roster. That comes as a surprise.
Who's the greatest 78? Who's the greatest 78?
Would you acknowledge
Sounds
at this
delicious.
Point how terrible...
Hey. I'm not going to lie to you. That freezer burn when you microwave it actually moistened it. It's actually a little moist.
I'm sure it does. As he takes a big glug of his cup of Joe to wash it down.
How many cups are you going to need to finish that one little muffin?
It's pretty dry. So good thing there's that freezer burn.
Thank you for your honesty. The clear-cut best number 78, I would argue... Because not only was he a good player and the leader in sacks once they started keeping track of them.
Ezra Johnson.
Ezra Johnson. Yep.
Yeah. Big win. Okay.
The others on the list here, Ross Verba, Louis Cheek.
Cheeky.
I think he predates my time covering the team. Casey Merrill, Bill Cook, Bob Brown. Booker. He was a good player. Norm Masters, Cliff Aberson, and Tom Doms. Your 78s during Packers history. So, not a lot.
So we could use a 78 for building a new legacy in Green Bay, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could use it as a defensive lineman. You could use it as an offensive lineman.
Kind of a funky number, though. Nah, 78 can't be. Not going to be a D lineman. No D lineman.
Terdell Sands was a 78. He was a defensive lineman. So
that's a big dude. Terdell
he was
Sands,
a big person.
Probably
6'9". Yeah, very large dude.
Monster of a man.
Well, wait a minute. We just said Ezra Johnson was the best number 78. He's a defensive lineman.
Yeah, that's back
lineman.
In the 80s, man. You ain't going to see pass rushing fools putting on 70 numbers.
Well, now they're wearing like single digits and stuff. And Micah Parsons
I know,
is
11. Actually super annoying. Leon Lowry is 8 and Pius is 0. And I have the hardest time figuring out who's who with that, because the 8 and the 0 are so similar. They're all scrunched up because they taped their jerseys. And I'm always looking like, is that Pius or is that Lowry? It's super annoying.
Almost as annoying as trying to say Ashcraft, but you figured that out eventually.
That's only happened once. Yep.
All right, so let's talk about this before we get to the Packers, okay? Yeah, okay is right. Jesse, what did Luke Fickle have to say about the offensive coordinator change when asked who would take over as the offensive play caller?
Why does it matter? Right? I mean, the offense will, those guys will do a lot of things collaboratively together, and I don't think it really is important as to who is calling it. You know, I guess it gives you the ability to point a finger at somebody if that's the case, but it's not one of those things I think is that important. Sometimes I think it's overrated in some ways, but it'll be a collaborative group, and those guys will have to work a lot together.
Yeah. First of all,
Shill, what's up, Shill?
I don't mean to be whatever. I'll take this.
So, you start it. Okay.
I am offended as a reporter that you would insinuate, Luke, that we only want to know who the play caller is because we want someone to point the finger at. That irritates me. It also irritates me because we just saw this with the Chicago Bears. It does matter who calls the plays. That person ultimately decides what play your offense is running. And good, bad, or indifferent, that is an important decision that occurs roughly 60 times a game.
I was just going to ask, is that important or is that not? I'm just curious. Okay.
Like let's step away from Phil Longo for a second and just look at the Bears. The Bears made the change because they needed to make a change. They needed to take a different approach offensively that was going to be more effective. And credit to Thomas Brown, a former Badgers assistant, for getting the ball out of his quarterback's hands more quickly and drawing up designed runs that they had not been doing frequently in their system to allow him to gain 70 yards rushing against a Packers defense that wasn't prepared. The Packers defense struggled in part because the play caller did a really good job of calling plays. It matters. Otherwise, let me ask you this. If it doesn't matter who calls the plays, why fire Phil Longo?
Why does it matter?
Yeah, why does it matter? Just let him keep his job then, if it doesn't matter. Come on.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say I'm a shill. Obviously, I am a huge fan of the program, and I want to see us succeed in a big way. And I thought, listening to the press conference and listening to that, it does matter. Play calling matters. And who is the person calling it? You're entrusting that person to be in front of your room. You're entrusting that person to lead your group. And by the way, you're paying that person more money. So it does matter on a lot of fronts. But really, I think it's I think the problem or the issues that they're that Luke was having is, I think he is, he obviously, just listening to the press conference, he obviously wants this to go away. Like, he wants this, and you have to let the story breathe before it dies.
Mm-hmm.
The story didn't breathe, and it's not up to you to kind of dictate how that goes. And I thought he was trying to do that yesterday, and I, if I'm advising him, I'm saying it's not, you just got to, you take it on, and then once that press conference is done, it's like, the rest of the week, it's Nebraska.
Right.
And that was the part that I would say, was not handled probably as well as it should have been. But so as far as long go and everything else, you obviously didn't feel like the group was finding itself and being efficient. It could get the job done with the current status as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to guess that there's going to be a lot of different groups of players on the offensive side of the ball that are going to, just like the Bears, look at this as an indictment of how they executed the plan that Phil Longo put in place, but they're also going to be excited about doing something different or having a different voice for these last 2 weeks, trying to get a spark like the Bears did. So I think when you look at it, it was a very hard decision.
Mm-hmm.
For Luke to do this in season. Mm-hmm. I had a hunch that this was going to happen at some point, and I thought it would be at the end of the year. But with the way the game played out and what we saw on third down and what we saw with a lot of things on offense the other night, I think it's really important for this team to try and find a way to become bowl eligible and send the seniors off in a good way.
Totally,
and that's
agree.
Why I believe this decision was made. Mm-hmm. When it was. And even if you want to say that the press conference wasn't handled the best, that's very fair. I think the underlying motive of this is, let's try to find a way to win 2 games, and let's get a spark to do that with someone different calling the plays.
I agree with everything you said. Now let me ask you just this in a bigger picture sense, not about who the play caller is or what happened to Phil Longo or how Luke Fickell chooses to go about his business. We watched a few weeks ago as Iowa bullyballed them in a way that the Badgers used to do to other teams. And the knee-jerk reaction was, right, from some prominent alumni who played in the program, and others, well, that's what we have to be. We've gotten away from who we are. And then the following week, Iowa lost. Like, it is a challenging time in college football to figure out what the hell you're going to be and what's going to work. And believe me, having been a freshman in 1990 when Barry Alvarez, our teammate and the co-host of the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison, was in his first year as the head coach, I look at that as that's who Wisconsin is, and I would love for them to remain that team and then just add every once in a while a guy who could throw the football a little more effectively, right? I'm fine with that brand. Unfortunately, I don't know if you can sustain success with that brand, and neither does Luke Fickell at this point. Trying to figure out what exactly is going to work. But clearly, and again, I'm not, this is not the team I cover on a daily basis, but I read everything that Colton Bartholomew and Jim Polzine and Jake Kokorowski, they all write. I would just say this. This felt like a mismatched marriage from the beginning. These two had never worked together. They didn't have history. It's not like Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur hanging out on the sideline together. These guys didn't have a connection. And it appears that that was among the challenges for the Badgers. So now, I hope Luke Fickell finds someone that he trusts, and they find a version of their offense that could be effective. I would also just add this. I am not a Phil Longo defender. He's been on the show once. We had a lot of fun with him when he was on. But he did lose his starting quarterback in each of the 2 seasons, right? Mordecai missed a bunch of time last year, and now Van Dyke has missed. He's been out since September. Less than ideal circumstances. That's where you find out if you can figure out a way to win anyway. And Matt LaFleur did with Malik Willis, and the Badgers haven't. And that's why they are where they are.
Well, They did go on a three-game winning streak, and you did start seeing it. But there is no doubt, I think it was, from the jump, a very, very interesting hire by Luke. And I think you're battling this new college football era where you're trying to figure out, you want to be tough, physical, and utilize the resources, a.k.a. linemen, tight ends, that you've had a ton of success with in the past. But you also want to elevate your program to the point where you're knocking at that 12-team playoff. And can you do it with the way we were doing it? And I think we all love the physical history of this program. Lord knows I do. And I know Barry Alvarez does. And I know everybody appreciates and respects that. But we also have to take a look at where we were at when this hire happened. And remember, this isn't 1999 anymore. Like, you do have to figure some things out. Now, whether or not the marriage and how you went about doing it, obviously, after going through not even two full seasons and not making it through, it didn't work. It didn't. Now, the big thing is, what are we going to do moving forward? Because I don't think it's just going to be, let's go back to the past. That's not going to be the way this goes. It's going to be, how do we marry this up and get the best of both worlds and try to be as consistent of a program as we possibly can be while allowing to grow and be better on offense than we were? Because for anyone that's got this mystique of, oh, we went back in the old days, we ran for this. Well, those are a long time ago. The back end of Paul Chryst's time and with Jimmy, it wasn't pretty, guys. It just wasn't. So let's keep all of that in mind as we're kind of proceeding forward, trying to figure out how this program can elevate itself.
All right, we'll move on. So this does mean, though, just since I have a little PTSD that like 6 weeks into the show's existence, someone was trying to get you to run for governor, and then you accuse me of always trying to get you different jobs, which is definitely not true. You are not a candidate to take us back to the 90s of Badgers football. You are not throwing your hat in the ring for offensive coordinator. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You will continue in your radio role.
I can say that 100%. I don't think Luke Fickell, because what I would do is I would come back with two tights, I'd go extra O-line, and I would run power, backside weak zone, some counter back the other, or some little power bims back the other way, short, quick passes, screens, keep passes. That's what I'd make a living on if I was the OC. My old lineman would love me. I don't think I'd get any quarterbacks, wideouts, or anyone else that would want to join the parade of what I would do.
We'd look like Army, just with larger guys.
Yeah. Like what Bielema did with the barge, I think they called it, right? They had the barge that brought in like 9 or 10 lines. That's the stuff I'd like.
Matt Davenport, your new special teams coordinator. Brooks Bollinger coaching quarterbacks. It's going to be a grand old time. Maybe we can get Saleh some sort of role. Not Robert, Tarek. But, hey, you can say 100% that you're not going to be the offensive coordinator, and you can say with 100% certainty that if you want to block out the wind, you got to get Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
I ain't going to lie to you. Getting up for pickleball this morning, the wind was howling. Don't spend another winter shivering at home.
So cold.
With that wind just howling through your windows and that money flying out. It's not even a dollar. And it used to be dollars. Now it's $5 flying out your windows. Get it fixed. Take advantage of this deal at Pella. No interest, no payments, 12 months. Keep your home comfortable and save on those energy bills. Keep that money inside the house thanks to customizable windows and doors from Pella. Pella can design them to look like they've been a part of your home throughout its history. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of November.
We'll shift gears to the Packers, and we'll get ready for Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Ready to roll!
All right, we'll get into what Matt LaFleur had to say yesterday. A lot of Brenton Cox talk. a lot fewer words spent on Lucas Van Ness. And it was interesting what Matt LaFleur didn't say, along with what he said about him. We'll get to that when we talk about first-round picks a little bit later. But, Tausch, one piece of news yesterday, and I did not call him to congratulate him, but there's no doubt he is deserving. Mark Murphy being announced as the 2025 inductee into the Packers Hall of Fame. Only one going in. A one-man class.
We got to get the Chippewa Falls.
Obviously,
I don't know if I love that. Mark obviously deserves to be
right.
in. He's has done a fantastic job, but, I mean.
That was going to be my point. That was literally going to be my point.
At least get one player in there with him and, and somebody else, but. Hey. Whatever.
He's a complicated fella.
Mark, he deserves to get in. Let me be very 100%. Clear.
Absolutely.
I don't think it needs to be a one-person class. I don't. I think there are lots of deserving members.
A lot of guys backed up that I think should get in.
Correct. And so when you do, as someone who has been tasked with running his own Hall of Fame, I know you want
it's
to be
easy,
selective. But if you have a number, Tausch was trying to limit me, which, by the way, this is definitely an off-season program type thing because we got a lot of football to talk about and a lot of things going on. But
it's shocking that I tried to tell you to do that in August, but you didn't want to do it.
Sorry. There is a process.
Sorry, Jim. I want to make sure I'm keeping Jason and just greasing him up and making sure Jason's happy all the time.
I think that was Mike.
I tried to tell you to do this in August.
No, I didn't want to do it in August. I want to do it in this offseason.
I know you did.
July would be great.
You should have.
Yeah, July's a great time. I don't know how long this idea has been on the table, but again, if I could just
stick around next July, Tausch, and then we can actually do it.
That's also a good point. Yeah. We'll do it when you're on vacation in France or Italy or where else you got on the. Never mind.
Got a couple fun little spots planned.
I'm sure you do. But I don't think it diminishes Mark Murphy's accomplishments, and he deserves Titletown, hiring Matt LaFleur, hiring Goody, and not giving him full say over the football operation. He's done a great job. And the bottom line is they are in the black, and they have lots of money in the bank, and they're trying to prevent the city of Green Bay from getting any money in rent from them. He's done a great job.
You love throwing little jabs.
I don't think he needs to go in by himself. And it's not because he avoids talking to me. It's not because I like Ed Policy or Bob Harlan better. It's because there are a ton of other qualified, deserving inductees. And if you're only inducting two players a year, this was an opportunity to induct at least one of them to get them off the list. That's all.
Totally agree with you.
I think it'd be awkward to be a player going in with Murphy. If you do it all at the same
time. No one cares. No one cares.
If you're going to the big sell, it's like, oh, Mark Murphy, his presidency's done. Celebrate all he's accomplished. And then also, here's Brian Bulaga. Like, it just feels like it's an afterthought with Murphy as opposed to, making the players the spotlight.
No, it would be an afterthought with Brett Favre. Rodgers.
Right.
That's when you're an afterthought.
Kind of Murphy.
Let me tell you
Murphy
something.
Is kind
Charles
of the afterthought.
Charles Blanken Woods, hey. Charles Blanken Woodson, a NFL Hall of Famer, shared his night with Al Harris. And I promise you this, Al Harris wasn't bummed about it. Guaranteed that.
Indeed.
But, again, man, hey, the Packer Hall of Fame, again, thank you for inducting me. I'm very happy. I'm going to shill like nobody shilled before. And if this is what you want to do, and just bring Mark Murphy in by himself, kudos to you. Great job. Can't wait to see you guys at the golf outing.
Poor Ryan Longwell, who was overshadowed by Tausch.
Yeah.
When he went in alongside Tausch. Yes, that is what happens. All right, we need to get to Evan Cohen, and I need to remind you, look, Steinhoffels has been with us from the beginning. Obviously, Chad Dern and Danny and the whole team over there have been great to us and to me, and we love our partnership. But this may be the thing about our partnership that I love the most of anything, even the nutcracker that I got from Steinhoffel's that sits in our house all year round, because this is such a great cause and they are so committed to it. Steinhoffel's partnering with Special Spaces Wisconsin and with the Packers to create dream bedrooms for children battling cancer all across Wisconsin. This season, as you know, because I tell you this every week, every time the Packers make a field goal, Steinhoffel's will donate $1,000 to Special Spaces Wisconsin. It's a great, great cause. You should check them out online. Search Special Spaces Wisconsin to find out more. Steinhoffel's has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader since 1934. They're 100% employee-owned, and they are a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns it down. I'm throwing caution.
Time now to be joined by Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike and of the University of Wisconsin, a proud Badger alum. Evan, how proud of you were the how proud of the Badgers were you on Saturday night?
Oh, moral victory season, Jason? Is that where we're at right now?
That's what I'm asking.
I can't go there. Okay. Wow, good. I hadn't thought about that. I got to be honest with you. That's a good question by you. I had not gone there, but I guess maybe I should have. And I understand that historically the goal under Coach Alvarez, our teammate at ESPN Wisconsin, of course, no big
deal.
It was always Big Ten Championship, Rose Bowl, and we would always ask, can there be more? And the answer is probably not. Like, we probably need to accept that part of it. But Oregon's in the Big Ten. Like, as much as it feels weird because we watched Joey Harrington and that Pac-10 team back in the day play, I can't go moral victory. Like, the goal is to win the Big Ten, and that's not going to happen, and that's a Big Ten school.
I believe that had been decided before that game.
Evan, don't you think the goal is to get in the college football playoff at this point, not Big Ten championship or any of the other stuff?
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks.
I guess there is something because there's 12, obviously, and like we're looking. How many Big Ten teams are going to be in? We're going to look at right now: Oregon, Penn State, and Indiana.
I think there's three locks. I think if Indiana gets trucked by Ohio State this week, they're going to be out.
Yeah, I think if they lose, for a reason to bump Indiana. I agree with you.
Yeah, they don't want Indiana in. But yeah, if they lose a tight game, if they lose by 14 or less, they're in.
If Indiana
talk about moral victories.
Wait a second. Say this. So if Indiana loses by 14 or less.
Correct. Yep.
So that's considered a good loss for a top five team in the country if they lose by 13?
So, Evan, I think basically they just need to show that they can play with the big boys. And I know they beat Michigan, and but nobody respects their schedule. And if they're able to hang with an Ohio State that is, obviously if they beat them, they're in. But I think it's actually best for Indiana to lose this game close, not make the Big Ten championship game, and then get in as a 7 or 8 seed. That's if I'm Cignetti, that's what I'm looking to do. Obviously, you want to win, but in a perfect world, this is what is going to be best for your program. Play tight, have an opportunity to beat Ohio State, maybe get beat late, and then, we're just as good as Ohio State at their place, and then they're going to be in. They won't be able to get left out.
Wait, so a couple of things based on everything you just said. So what's sad about this whole conversation is, you're giving the advice and the game plan for Indiana, and we as Badgers are on the outside looking in on that. Like, and we would dream to be Indiana right now, which sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, we would.
But the other thing that Jason said, I think that was a slip-in comment that needs to be expanded on, I think is a very good comment. When I said, you know, Wisconsin's playing for a Big Ten title, in theory, in our minds, and that Oregon game is a loss, and they obviously they're not going to win the Big Ten, and Jason, your point is a good one. Well, that was decided a long time ago. To not even be in November and have a shot at the Big Ten title is a little bit of a bummer. And the fact that we're talking about Indiana as a team that can lose by 13 points and still be in the college football playoff, and we're looking at the moral victory against Oregon, that's not good.
Evan, I don't know if you're at the firehouse or where you are, but
I'm at the parking garage. I apologize.
That's okay. I am curious. Do you think it matters who calls the offensive plays for a college football program?
Yeah, that was interesting. I think like if we're going to translate Coach Fickell, it's I don't want to tell you, and I'd almost rather that. I mean, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people, and I've probably had it with Tausch, or at times where a person would say to me, "Hey, do you know about this situation?" And I would literally say to them, "Yes, I do, but I cannot tell you." And I've had people then say to me, "You know what? I at least appreciate your honesty on that."
Yes.
And it's like, you know, if Coach Fickell wants to come out and simply say, "Guys, I obviously know who's calling the play. I've decided this, but there's more internal communication that needs to be done before I make it external. I promise you I will let you know the information when there's information to be known." I think we can live with that. Here's the problem.
Yeah, but Evan, I agree with you, but there's nothing more annoying than if If there is if Jason comes up to me and said, "Boy, do I got a juicy nugget, but I can't tell you," that is super annoying. So yes. I get it, and if I Luke Fickell, I totally agree. If he's like, "Yeah, I know, and I'm not telling you because it's a competitive advantage," no problem. But is there anything more annoying if somebody you're riding around and somebody's like, "Oh, you wouldn't believe what I heard, but I can't tell you."
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, okay? And I actually do not know the answer to this. Prior to this, has Luke Fickell told the media and fans who would call?
Your phone stinks as bad as your question.
I got to switch over. Sorry. I didn't hear the answer. I apologize.
Hey, Matt Eberflus.
We didn't hear the questions. We didn't hear the question, Eberflus.
Okay.
Why does it matter?
All right. Well, has Coach Fickell, prior to this latest situation, provided information to fans and media as to who's calling the plays?
It didn't need to be told. We all knew.
The reason I'm asking this, and Jason's probably been through this a million times with coaches, like, for example, in my opinion, the greatest coach of all time, and Bill Belichick, never tells you who's calling the plays. So if there's a change, he's still not going to tell you, right? So meaning, if you've told us previously, Phil Longo's coming in. We're getting this air raid offense from North Carolina. We're really excited about his addition, and we're really excited to see what he can do with the offense. Well, now you're going to have to tell us if he's not calling the offense because you told us he was. My suggestion is always to say less. Don't even say that.
No.
Don't even acknowledge any of it. One voice, it's Coach Fickell. That's the only voice that's going to be conveyed. To go with the, why does it matter? It doesn't matter who's calling the plays. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't, but because you made a big deal about the person previous to this calling the plays, it's now going to matter. You made it a big deal. You made it matter.
Fair. All right, let's shift gears to the Packers because I am curious about the national narrative around.
Jason, one other thing. I apologize.
Yep, sure.
I just want to say one other thing. I know there's a lot of conversation about, like, who's next replacing Longo. I think I'm saying that name right. I just want to be clear about something here. As a Badger alum,
Okay.
We can be evolved and advanced while still having a connection to the past. In other words, why not call Brooks Bollinger and see if he's interested in being on the staff? Why not call Jason Eck at South Dakota, right, or wherever the hell he is, like a guy who's on
Idaho.
The
he's a Vandal.
Idaho, sorry. Jason Eck in Idaho, who played for the Badgers, who's a head coach. We saw the Packers do it. Take a head coach, make him a coordinator with Halfley.
By the way, almost beat Oregon. Mm-hmm. Had Oregon on the ropes in Oregon.
Yep. Okay. How about
How about a guy that I talked to a couple of years ago when everybody around ESPN Wisconsin was trying to replace Tausch? Jason said, how about Scott Tolzien? I said, good idea.
Was that so right? Interesting. Retired Jason? Navy fella and Timmy both wanted Scotty Tolzien. That's an interesting name. So there's a bunch of interesting
would have been
names.
A good hire for us, by the way.
Yeah. I know. Well, Jason, to his credit, gave me the number and email. I couldn't help. We had
thank
to
you, Jason. That's that is fantastic. Tolzien and Tausch.
I'm telling the truth. Jason, did you not connect
Would Tolzien? It have been Wildy and Tolzien?
Just to be clear.
Or Tolzien and Wildy.
Before this takes off. Because I do spend a lot of time bragging about how Evan gave me the option of who to do the show with, and I picked you. We were interested in Scott Tolzien because he is really bright, not to replace you. Okay, let's be clear.
Okay, you're putting that out there. Okay, so Evan, you bring up a couple of interesting names, and I do think that whatever Luke decides to do, and we saw this a little bit, by bringing Casey Rabach back, and I think the O-line, for the most part, has gotten a lot better under him and Blas last year. I don't think anyone would argue that. But I think it would behoove, and I think it would be really fun, to have someone that comes in that has had some real institutional knowledge about this place.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, and you just mentioned three great names. I think Brooks has been out of coaching for a while, so as much as I love Brooks, even though he didn't make one birdie in 52 holes at our member guest, Scotty Tolzien's probably going to be out of a job down in Dallas.
In Dallas, yep.
Whether or not they're going to retain him and when they get rid of Mike, but those are some names that I think I'm sure Luke and everybody involved is going to take long, hard looks at, because this next hire is a big deal. Whatever they end up deciding to do, it's going to be a monster deal to get this thing figured out and that we can start progressing the way we need to.
I'm going to ask Jason this question since I know, Tausch, you won't answer it, and I'm not saying you should because obviously you're on the broadcast. Jason, how far do you feel like we are away from, unfortunately, I'm not rooting for this, but from Coach Fickell being on the hot seat?
So the part that I don't know for certain, because this is not my area of expertise, is how far away they started, right? Because there are a lot of folks that are believers in Coach Fickell that put a lot of the blame on Coach Crist. And look, I like Coach Crist a lot. He's been very good to me. He's very good to Tom Mulhern. I think he's a very good human being who didn't really like the way college football was trending and didn't want really any part of it and didn't do a good enough job of adjusting. And I say that with all the respect in the world for him. Do I have to admit that I wanted Jim Leonard to be the head coach because I thought you could keep both the history of this program and have a guy who had played in the NFL, who had a lot of appeal to young 18 to 22-year-old guys who want to play in the league and was smart enough, in my opinion, to be able to figure out NIL? I did. That doesn't mean I'm against the Luke Fickell hire. The hire was the hire, and I think Luke Fickell is a good coach. But I don't think that we're significantly closer to being a college football playoff team because Wisconsin writ large still has not figured out how to get the players onto their campus in this new world. And I don't blame Luke Fickell specifically, but there was a piece in the State Journal last week, I think, where Jim Polzin talked to Ted Kellner and, hey, we can get really good offensive linemen and we can get those tight ends, but we don't have enough money to be paying the people that we really need to be field-tilting players. That's the takeaway I got from what Ted Kellner had to say. So until the salary cap, or whatever we're calling it, is instituted, I think we're really far away from being where they want to be. And does that leave him on the hot seat? I think as long as Chris McIntosh is the athletic director, this is his guy, and he's going to ride or die with him, and I don't think they're anywhere near death. I think they're just a middling program trying to figure it out. How's that for an answer?
No, we lost Evan.
That's great. Really great response by Evco.
Dang.
This is one way to keep.
I was like, well, what, a, what, was
boy,
it that,
that
bad?
Was a
did
long,
I talk too long?
Pause. Yeah, well,
thanks, Devin Cohen, for joining us. We always enjoy his
input. And we're finally going to get him out on time, which is a win.
He's back. He's back.
Oh, there he is. Look at that.
Well, you guys hung up on me? Wow, I asked Jason one question I get hung up on. Unbelievable.
His best answer in
fairness,
weeks.
Evan, in fairness, his answer was 7 minutes long, so that's
It was a good answer, though. I thought it was a good answer.
Were you still answering the Fickle question?
Oh, yeah. He just finished up.
And we realized and we were no longer there.
We were like, where the hell's Evan?
Oh, my God. All right, what were you going to ask me about the Packers?
Great question.
I don't remember because of my seven-minute soliloquy that you never heard.
That is unbelievable. Wow.
No, it's not.
It was not unbelievable. Be honest, Tausch. Good answer or not a good answer? Since Evan really wasn't here to judge it.
Really good answer.
Check it out at Wisconsin On Demand or go back on YouTube and watch it later.
Wow. Well done, Jason. Well done.
Evan, I don't know if you guys have talked to, you've had a lot of other football-related topics to discuss, but because you do have a Packers fan on your panel in Mishmel Schmalman, did you talk at all about Jordan Love and how much more he looked like the real Jordan Love as opposed to the guy we'd seen before the bye week?
Yes, but we also talked about the idea that the pass attempts were obviously down because of how good Jacobs has been. Interesting stat, by the way. If you look at the NFL rushing leaders, the top three leaders are all guys, Henry and Jacobs being two of the three, and Saquon the other, that changed teams this offseason. Four of the top eight, five of the top 10, seven of the top 15, all guys that changed teams this offseason, including Josh Jacobs. There's kind of a running back resurgence right now amongst good teams in the NFL. But I look at it and wonder whether or not they took a little bit of a page out of the Bills book last year, and are they kind of, and I know injuries factor in, but are they kind of limiting the pass attempts right now to get back to the efficiency to then increase the pass attempts, i.e. what the Bills did with Josh Allen when he was turning the ball over left and right, because there's been obviously way too many turnovers for Love, but the pass attempts, correct me if I'm wrong, were the lowest of the season so far for Jordan Love this week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 17.
Well, yeah, that was also because the Packers' defense couldn't get off the field, and the Bears kept time of possession. And the Packers only had 40. What did they have? 43 plays, Jason?
46. 46. Yep, 46.
46 plays on the entire night. So.
But is that a theme? Do you guys expect that moving forward in terms of, you know, hey, the best player on the offense may actually not be the quarterback? And that, and I don't say that as an insult to Jordan Love. I say that as a compliment to Jacobs.
No. Matt LaFleur is going to always be quarterback dominant, but Josh Jacobs on Sunday was definitely the best player. But I do not think that will continue. I think it's always going to be a Jordan Love-based operation as long as he's the quarterback.
But isn't that actually basing the operation around Jordan Love by making it easier for him by threatening the run first? I know, Tausch, you don't know X and O's football, so I'm talking to Jason on this.
Hey.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Jason, give me a 7-minute answer to take me to the next stop of my trip here. Go ahead.
Well, we'll lose you about 30 seconds into it is the problem. I would just say that I think Matt LaFleur, while he believes that Jordan Love is the straw that stirs the drink, he knows how much better, based on both what Josh Jacobs has done this season and how much of a difference Aaron Jones made down the stretch last year for him, that the running game, more so for Jordan than maybe for other quarterbacks even, makes it easier on his quarterback.
I was told play action pass doesn't matter. I just got told that, scolded. I think you were scolded last week that it doesn't matter. Didn't it?
Yeah, Yeah. Well,
I mean, not you.
No, not by you.
You don't know anything about play action passes.
Why does it matter?
I don't know.
You were a running guy.
No, good. I'm glad you brought that up. I am absolutely infuriated that more NFL teams don't realize three things. Number one, take the points when you have them. Number two, punt is not always a bad thing. A punt is not always a bad thing. Number three, put the quarterback under center to run play action with his back.
Thank
defense.
You.
It is way more effective than running at a shotgun at all times, because running at a shotgun prevents you from doing things. Running out of, you know, operating under center prevents you from doing nothing and increases the options, because the defense does not know where the ball is. It drives me nuts that every team just constantly is running out of shotgun.
Well, Evan, we just had this conversation. I said all last week it's really important, the fact that Jordan Love is going to be healthy. He could do that. By the way, a couple of pretty big plays from under center that ended up being play action last week. So I don't understand why Matt LaFleur kind of came back at y'all, you and Spoon, with mm-hmm. that last week. But that's a story for another day. All right, Evan, last one for me. Can you be a great general manager if you have a really good roster, but most of your first-round picks don't live up to the hype?
Okay, I love this question. Well done, Jesse.
Thanks.
Writing it for Tausch. The draft where the San Francisco 49ers drafted Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, was that a good draft or a bad draft?
Good draft.
So then that answers your question, does it not?
Kind of.
I think Tausch is going bigger picture on the number of first-round picks, especially on defense, that Brian Gutekunst has selected that aren't very good.
Okay, so not to make everything about the Patriots, but let's make everything about the Patriots. When the Patriots were getting in trouble for Deflategate and there was all kinds of conversations about taking away first-round picks, my response to that was, sure, take them, as long as you don't take away the ability to sign undrafted free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, first-round picks are set up to fail maybe more than any other round because it's almost impossible to outperform your contract, where every other round, I'm not suggesting it's easy because there's less focus on you to actually make the team and develop you, but at the same time, the concept of a first-round pick is backwards for most coaches. What do I mean by that? Most coaches like to develop players and then pay them, not pay them and then develop them. So a lot of times you see this, like, you know, whoever you're talking about, whether it's, you know, whatever first-round pick you're specifically referring to, is the opposite in many ways of kind of in what the Packers have done forever, is find guys where others don't and develop them and then pay them, not pay them and then try to develop them. I mean,
well,
look at
I'll
you,
say
Couch.
This, though. You,
you were nobody in college. I mean, let's be honest. Not
All
even
right.
in the Wisconsin
hey.
Badgers Hall of Fame. By the way, is there a chance Jason and I could get into the Hall of Fame, the UW-Madison Hall of Fame, before you? Because I think that's now my new life goal.
No, because honestly, there's no way. Now, I may never get in there, but there's no way you two knuckleheads are getting ahead of me. That I feel fairly confident about. But
this is what I don't like when you do that. You totally threw
me off. My train of thought, I had something really good, and then you go and add that dumb comment at the end, and that's how we're going to finish up today, even though I had a great point that I don't remember. No,
good
I know.
Story.
So, but Evan, the whole idea of a quarterback on a rookie deal is such a critical piece. So while I agree with you on some parts of it, there's nothing better that an organization wants than getting a stud, a Micah Parsons. You go through the list of great players that are on a 5-year capped operation. That's why these first round picks are so valuable to teams.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, we're talking about defense, though. In this case, you said defense, did you not?
I said that's why I brought Micah Parsons up. You know, like the Packers would love to have Micah Parsons on a rookie deal. Of course, they would.
The player, I don't think they'd love to have the weekly show critiquing the players on the team. I don't think that would fit the Green Bay Packers. Actually, no.
No, that's why they have us.
ESPN Wisconsin.
Evan, we appreciate you. Thanks.
I'm getting into the Badgers Hall of Fame. That's my new life goal. That's it. I'm done.
You did a great job blocking for Ron Dane that 1 year. That is it for our time with Evan Cohen. Want to remind you, we have one more spot to give away in our big NBA in-season tournament bracket that we've got going on, the Emirates NBA Cup Bracket Challenge, which is underway right now. Now, here's the bad news, but call anyway. We only have one team that we haven't given away yet, and I believe it's the Utah Jazz. Jesse, how are they doing? How are the Jazz doing?
They're really trying.
All right, so really try to be caller number 3. Caller 3, 844-770-3776. Maybe they'll shock the world. 844-770-3776. You will get the Jazz in our bracket. Now, our Wildy and Tausch pod consists of the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Phoenix Suns, the LA Lakers, the Jazz, and the Spurs. All you got to do then is follow that team throughout the in-season tournament, and if your team wins, you win $2 tickets. And if your team doesn't win, well, you can buy tickets. You can still secure seats to this unforgettable moments at bucks.com/tickets. Again, 844-770-3776. Caller 3 gets the Jazz next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I'm a little disappointed. I thought that was a pretty good answer on Badger football for me, and
really
I hope
good.
Our listeners
that was
enjoyed
a great
it.
Answer. Because, yeah, I thought it was really good.
Evan was gone for it. We will we'll get back to Packers because I do want to. Tausch kind of teased it in our conversation with Evan, but I do want to get into this conversation about the Packers' first round picks, and I do want to remind everyone before we get into that conversation that not all of Ron Wolf's first-round picks turned out to be very good, and he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the Packers won a Super Bowl. So it is not the end-all, be-all of whether or not you're a good GM, but I do think that it is an aspect of Goody's resume that has been getting overlooked amid all the bouquets we've been tossing his direction. We'll talk about that during the 10 o'clock hour, which is coming up after Tausch tells us about his love of Tito's Vodka.
Tito's Handmade Vodka on game day? Yeah. Pour me in, coach. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on a couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody, salt the rim of a Tito Rita, or take home the win with Tito's and whatever your heart desires. You're calling the game. You change up your roster. You wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Tito's House. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.